Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two of the Friday. Great to have you in. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Good to have you in. Usually during the season, I get 15 games to choose from, and I pick five. And I called it Blazing 5. I don't even know why I named it. I should have named it Blazing 3, because I always have like three games, maybe four I love. It's always hard to find a fifth game, the process of it. The playoffs, you only got six games. I was supposed to pick five. So I only liked two games on the board this weekend. That was it. The two games I really, really liked. The rest of them I wouldn't touch. But it's fun. We do this anyway. So as I go through it, I'll tell you the games I really like and the games like I wouldn't have bet. But I'll tell you my side. So Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, do you have a big weekend planned?
Yes, I work every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to watch football.
I mean, I'll be watching football, but I'm
going to be working. 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
I'm on Fox Sports Radio tomorrow morning.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
okay.
For Jason McIntyre.
You know what? It's interesting about this because I lived out east. You lived out east for a long time, and I lived out east for about 11 years. And I always tell people this. If you love sports and you have the means to retire wherever you want, retire out west. Because when you're out east, you have to wait till 1 o'clock for games on Sunday. And a lot of honeydews, you do this, do that. Doesn't work that way. Out west, you go out Saturday night with your wife, girlfriend, you sleep in, have big breakfast, game's on.
Yep. 10 a.m.
You don't have to. Would you do this for me? I wish I had time. Could you rake the lawn? Oh, game's on. I can't. It's just a way better. I don't have to. I on the East Coast, I didn't watch the end of a Monday night football game for 11 years.
Forget football. NBA. NBA games go so late. It's impossible.
When LeBron was in Miami, and there was a show at that network, Mike and Mike, and we used to always joke in the company, they didn't watch any of it. You couldn't watch the games and get up at 3 and do the show. Like, you couldn't. It's impossible,
no.
Right? You had to use the packet they would give you to pretend like you watched the games. I used to joke about this. May was hell for me because I'd have to watch the end of LeBron's Miami games. It was always the primetime late game, and it ends at like 11:30, and then I got to be up at 6:30 and drive to work.
Yeah,
like,
it's brutal.
May was my bad sleep month.
None of those problems on the West Coast.
You don't have any of those problems.
We have other problems, but.
Yeah, like we can't eat outside forever. All right, here we go. All of our odds are provided by FoxBet.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins blazing fire. Colts at Bills.
All right, I'm going to take Buffalo -6.5 here. They're the hottest team in the league, 7-1 record at home, won six straight games by 10-plus points. And the other thing, teams go in waves. Seattle's struggling right now. The Bills, since week 12, are number one in the NFL, much better offensively than Kansas City since week 12, and it's not debatable. Number one in everything. Points, point differential, yards. The Colts worry me. I think they'll stay close for a while. But in the second half, Phillip Rivers, when you go off script and you just need him to make a play, lowest ceiling in the league. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, second half, they can do stuff off script. I like the Bills to win and cover 31-20.
Rams at Seahawks.
Like it, I love it. I bet this game got a better number than the number now, but L.A. +3.5, I'll take them. The Seahawks, more than any team in the league, play one possession games. They're always close, especially their rivalry games. 25 games decided by one possession since 2019, most in the NFL. And their offense now is struggling. DK Metcalf has disappeared. And no defense gives them more consistent trouble than the Rams. They sacked Russell Wilson 11 times this year, 16 times in three games. And the Rams' defense is number one in yards per play allowed. By the way, Cooper Kupp back, Cam Akers back, Andrew Whitworth back. And even if they go to the backup quarterback, Seattle's not going to score a lot. He can have a Jalen Hurts ability. You're kind of guessing how to defend him. Upset of the weekend, Rams 21, Seahawks 20.
Buccaneers at Washington.
I think Washington is the play plus eight. Didn't bet it, but it's the play. They've been 5-2 over their last seven games, have the Washington football team, and they've held opponents to 20 points or fewer in each of their last seven games. So Ron Rivera didn't have a preseason, little choppy in September, October, but in the last 2 months, Ron Rivera's defense, A, it had talent when he got there, and B, now the talent's being well coached, they're no fun to play. Alex Smith 5-0 in his last five starts, and the Bucs and Tom Brady have struggled. Tom's a habit guy. Night games this year, been bad. Playoff teams this year, been bad. I don't love the matchup for Tampa here. I have them winning, but I think it's choppy. It's got upset written all over it. I would take Washington plus eight. 26-20 Tampa wins, does not cover.
Bears at Saints.
Wouldn't touch this if you paid me, but I'll just take the Bears side because now it's up to 9.5, 10 points. And that's, you know, here's how I feel. Saints have the best roster in the league and are going to win this game, but there is value. A lot of times I'm not betting teams. I'm just betting a number. This number, some will tease this up to 10, 11 points. Chicago's got a real defense. Trubisky's been in playoffs before. I like the coach. David Montgomery now is running the football. Since week 12, the offense for Chicago has been at least something. We know the Saints are better. Their offensive pieces are so good in New Orleans. You got Drew and Taysom and Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Thomas now finally healthy. By the way, the Saints haven't had Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas together at full strength in a long time. The Saints are going to win, but I'm just playing the number here. 9.5 is too much to give anybody, especially if there's no fans in New Orleans. If there's fans, I call for a blowout. 28-23, Saints win, but I take the Bears' side.
Browns at Steelers.
Like the Steelers, I love them. Now, I got this at 4, but at 6, and I'm still comfortable with it. Pittsburgh minus 6. Two bad things happening. Actually, there's 3. The Browns have the fewest players with postseason experience, 15 of any team in the playoffs. Bad. Experience matters. Secondly, they're the only playoff team with a negative point differential. Bad. Third, they don't have their coach. I don't think it's that big, but it's something. I didn't like Cleveland to start. Now things are unraveling. Big Ben, at home, rested, will be the most comfortable of the two quarterbacks. Olivier Vernon's out for Cleveland, good pass rusher. The Steelers have allowed the fewest sacks in the NFL and also have the most sacks in the NFL. So translation, of the two quarterbacks, Big Ben at home, rested, will be the most comfortable quarterback. I think you'll feel like Pittsburgh is the better team for 3.5 hours. But I do think Cleveland has the ability to score. Cleveland's running game will have Big Ben watching some of this game, not playing in it. But I'm comfortable with the number. Pittsburgh 28, Cleveland 20. And I don't feel the game will feel that close. It'll feel like Pittsburgh is the better team with the more comfortable quarterback. So there you go. And that hat on backwards was the sealer for me. That was the sealer for me with Baker Mayfield. That hat on backwards. I did not like. By the way, this is, I said this. Sometimes I see something, but I don't have the data to back it up. And that's a real thing. Is that, remember Tom Penn used to run the Portland Trailblazers? He always says his theory on the draft was, what do my eyes tell me about the players? Then do I have data to back it up? If it's 2 check boxes, it's good. So I just asked the staff today. I didn't have the number. I said, I've watched the Colts play. I don't like their second half offense. I said, I just don't like it. They're very good on the script. They come out with 15 plays. Phillip Rivers, a veteran, and they're very effective. But then the second half of playoff games, you need Brady or Russell Wilson or Mahomes. You need them to make plays. The Colts' first half offense this year, in the first half, so my eyes told me something. The staff just gave this to me. The Colts in the first half almost averaged 17 points a game. It was 4th in the league. Second half offense, 22nd. They average 11. So you think, oh, it's only a couple field goals. But what does that tell you? Is that everybody comes in with scripted plays. The difference between good teams and great teams and good quarterbacks and great quarterbacks is, okay, Deshaun Watson. Okay, We've run through all our plays now. Now it's up to you to sort of ad-lib your way. Who are the best second-half quarterbacks in the NFL? Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and I think Josh Allen's ending up in that category. Whereas there's quarterbacks very good on script, Jared Goff, very good on script, Phillip Rivers. Then you get into points in the game where you need them to make a play. Kirk Cousins falls into this, and they don't have it. So nice job of the staff. Colts were what my eyes said. I don't like them as a second-half team, and I think Josh Allen is built to go off script. In fact, he's probably better at that than on script. There you go. Jeff Fisher, Eric Mangini, both coming up today on a Football Friday.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. For the first time ever, it's 2 days of triple headers. Super Wild Card Weekend kicks off tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be one wild Wild Card Weekend.
God, I can't wait. Jeff Fisher made the playoffs, 6 different playoff appearances, coaching the Oilers and the Titans. And he actually was a player for the Bears, actually. 85 Bears spent the season. He was banged up that year. So he knows all about the playoffs, going in as a favorite, going in as an underdog. And Jeff Fisher, now former NFL head coach, joins me live. So you've gone in as a dog. You've gone in as a favorite. When you do go in as a favorite, you're a division winner. Can you sense in the room, the week, the day of, the moment, a little tightness? Was it palpable? Could you feel it?
Well, you know, I'll go back. You know, in 99, Colin, we went in as a wild card team, and we had to go through everybody. I mean, we had to play Buffalo and then go, you know, up to Indianapolis and then down to Jacksonville. And, you know, we hadn't been in it before. And so I remember mentioning in a team meeting, I go, hey, if we can get past this first game, we'll be fine, because you're not going to play well in the first half because you haven't been there. You don't know what it's like, and so on and so forth. We found our way past it, and you know, we made it to the Super Bowl. The next year, we've got the number one seed in 2000. We have a week off. We're sitting there with the best record in the AFC. And, now we lose to Baltimore, and they have 5 first downs. And you remember the game.
Yep.
You know, Ray Lewis peeled the ball off Eddie's shoulder, and one of your frequent participants, Trent Dilfer, wins the Super Bowl ring, and they had 5 first downs. So, you know, it's just different. We didn't play well, and we look around. You look around when that game's over, and you go, well, this is a much better team. What happened? So, you know, the teams that haven't been there before or in a long time, like Cleveland, it's going to be tough on them because, you know, they've got all that emotion and all that stuff. They're playing a team like Pittsburgh that they're familiar with. But if they can get through the first half, mind you, I think they settle down and play pretty well. But you can get caught up in the hype. Now, the big thing is right now there's no home field advantage. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the Rams, you know, at the Seahawks. I mean, that's a different place, you know, and under normal circumstances. A young quarterback in a second start's got no chance if he can't hear. But this isn't the case up there.
Yeah, that's the game to me. You know, Jeff, part of it is the Rams have given Russell Wilson fits. They've sacked him 6 times a game in the last 3 times they've met, and his passer rating's in the 70. They've got a lockdown corner to take out DK Metcalf. They've got a guy you've got to double up front to change your blocking scheme. So it's a good matchup for the Rams. But it's fascinating because I thought when Seattle's running backs got healthy, I'm like, okay, here they are. It's gone the other way. Did you ever go in, have stretches when you look at your roster, Jeff, and you're like, this should work, and it doesn't? Seattle's in a weird place where it's almost an enigma. It's a mystery. I can't figure out why it's not working.
Well, I just say this, Colin. I say it's not working because they, you know, they usually are a team that's 7-1 or 6-2 at home, 8-0 at home every year because of home field advantage and the way they're built. They don't have that advantage anymore. And yeah, the Rams are going to give them fits up front. I mean, they, you know, Seattle's gotten a little more healthier up front on the offensive line. I agree. Where's their running game? You know, Shoddy's one of the best play callers, I think, in the National Football League. I like their chances, but there's something uneasy about this. And then, I mean, if you were to look at a first glance and go, okay, Wolford or Russell Wilson, that's a no-brainer. But the Rams have, over the last, you know, few matchups, have created a bunch of problems for Russ.
Yeah. The other game that's interesting is in a little house money here. So Ron Rivera is you know him. He's an excellent defensive coach. And so he inherited a Washington team that had talent. And it took him no preseason. So it took him about 7-8 weeks for these guys to understand their assignments. Okay, last 7 weeks, they've held everybody under 20. And Brady is one of those guys, you get rich, you get 40, you don't want to get hit. And I could see Tom getting a little off his spot if they can't block their front. Your thoughts on Brady, night game, good defensive front. What do you think we see here with that?
You know, first let me go back a week. You watch that Washington offense, the quarterback, bless his heart, and it's an amazing story, but he has a hard time moving around. And so, you know, Tampa Bay is going to create some problems there. I think that's going to be the difference. Alex is just, the ball's got to come out quick. If he gets pushed out of the pocket, he has difficulty climbing in the pocket a little bit. If he can't get the ball out quick, they're going to have problems. The other side of it is Brady's experienced. I know Jack will have the defense ready to go. He'll have some different wrinkles, but there's just too much going on. I think if you look at the talent on both sides, Washington's defense and Tampa Bay's offense, you might say they're going to, they'll balance out. But boy, if Brady gets hot and he's got some time, he's going to make some big time plays. And if they get up, I just don't see Washington catching up with it, with the state of that offense.
Kansas City's resting. They're not playing. They really struggled in December. Conversely, from about week 14 on, Buffalo was on fire. So it's very interesting, and I want your take on this. So in December, even against Atlanta's defense, Andy struggled. He gave his they had a bye coming up, and he didn't play Mahomes week 17. And I thought, man, Jeff, that's like a college bowl rest. Do you worry about Kansas City not playing well? Don't play starters week 17, having a bye, and Buffalo's red hot. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about a Kansas City team coming off a bye. Andy knows what he's doing. They're going to work. They're going to practice. They're going to maintain tempo. The only concern you have with respect to the bye, Colin, is the COVID protocol and what happens on this off weekend if the guys get a couple of days off. I mean, they got them locked down. They're doing everything they can, but that would be my concern. I think this is an experienced team. Patrick understands what's at stake here. He's been there before. I don't think you'll see a problem with them. They don't have to travel. They should be fine in the familiar surroundings there. But you make a great point. Buffalo's on fire right now. They're really a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Both sides of the ball with Brian and Leslie have done with the offense and defense. It's impressive. And the quarterback is hot. And at this time of the year, if you got a quarterback that can get out of trouble and make plays off the schedule, which I'm probably 78% of these guys can right now, you have a chance. And so I don't think Kansas City's going to have a problem. They may, Kansas City falls behind 14 points in the first quarter. They, every year it seems like in the playoffs to somebody, and they come back and, they put together a huge second half and they run away with it. So I don't think it's a problem, but I don't, right now I'm not ready to pick between Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah. So you're in Nashville. The Titans are, I said to Joy earlier today, Joy Taylor, my co-host, I said, you don't have to be a perfect team to even get to a Super Bowl. Coaching is so good in the NFL. You can't be terrible somewhere because a coach will just pick it apart. Boy, the Titans struggle in the back end, and it doesn't help that they've got a poor pass rush. So whereas Seattle earlier this year was struggling on the back end, they acquire Carlos Dunlap. They solve a little bit of that because now quarterbacks don't have time to get their feet under them. I look at the Titans and Ravens, and I just see a game that lasts 2.5 hours because nobody will throw. They're just going to run the ball. Your thoughts on that game?
You think they're going to run it? I mean, last week, I did the math. Baltimore had, 400 yards rushing at Cincinnati, and the Titans had 250. That's 650 yards rushing last weekend. I mean, this thing is going to be really fun to watch. Now, if you got a defense that can't get past, can't get pressure on the quarterback, you're going to have to manufacture pressure. And the issue with that is if you send too many or you get out of a rush lane or you're undisciplined or you don't get them down, there's a lot of running room. So that's going to be a concern, I think, of the Titans going in defensively. But, you know, their hopes and their playoff aspirations and their push is all going to be centered on Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry can hang on that football, and not that he's a fumble guy, but if he, the more carries he gets, the more time they're on the field, the less time Lamar's on the field. I just don't know. I mean, they've won the last two matchups. You know, they're playing the same team for the third time in the same year. It's been done before. We did it in 99 against Jacksonville. This one's going to be hard on Tennessee. You know, it's going to be a great game. I can't wait to watch it, but 650 rushing last week between those two offenses. That's unheard of.
By the way, congratulations. Trent Dilfer comes on the show all the time, and he's a high school football coach, and he got to the state championship and lost. He lost to a team that was coached by your son. Is that right?
You know, yeah, that's right, Colin. Thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, Trent's at Lipscomb Academy, and my son's coach, assistant coach at Christ Presbyterian Academy. And I was there. I sat there, and I watched the state championship game. And you talk about rushing. The Christ Presbyterian Academy, they rushed for 424 yards against Coach Dilfer's team.
Wow.
And so, you know, I thought 400 out of Baltimore last week was a lot. 424 against Lipscomb Academy. And oh, by the way, I have to point out, since he's a frequent talent on your show, he did a hype. Tom Brady did a hype video in this championship stadium in Tennessee for Trent Dilfer's team, and it just didn't make a difference. So, you know, I'm excited about the rivalry we have going here in Nashville. It's a lot of fun, but Trent's doing a great job. He's well loved here. And speaking of Trent, you know, he was the one that at the other hand of the loss that we had, you know, probably the most significant loss that we had as a Titans coach to the Ravens organization, and that after that 2000 season, yep, when they went on and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was one of the great probably the last great Hall of Fame level defense in the league. I mean, it was just physical and in your face and pressure and great corners. Jeff Fisher, pleasure seeing you again. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a fun weekend.
Yeah. The Titans-Ravens game is just going to run the football. That game is just going to be run, run, run. Some games, you have a feeling like I could see Buffalo and the Colts being a four-hour game. If the Colts played well early, Buffalo gets behind, Buffalo's got to throw. They have a much more explosive throwing game than they do a running game. Baltimore, if you miss the first half hour, they'll be deep into the second quarter, Ravens-Tennessee. That's just run all day. All right, good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Nothing like high school football trash talk.
Listen, Dilfer turned that thing around fast, and I just found out that Jeff Fisher's kid beat him in the final game. Isn't that funny?
It's amazing. Anytime LeVar Arrington comes on, because he's from Pittsburgh as well, we always talk trash about our high schools. Mine's better, by the way, Woodland Hills High School. Shout out Woody High. So Ben Roethlisberger will make his 22nd playoff start Sunday against the Browns. 22nd.
How's he done?
He's one of many quarterbacks this postseason that have many years of playoff experience. There's a lot of old guys
playing
in the play, and old and older-ish.
Brady, Breeze, Ben, Rivers.
Yeah, Wilson, Rodgers are not old, but they're not young. And he's hoping to be one of the last veterans standing.
It's fun to be a part of it with them. You know, obviously, if we were sitting at home and people were talking about the old guys that are still playing, why aren't you a part of it? Then you'd be disappointed. But to be a part of it, to be in this kind of tournament, as Coach calls it, it's an honor, and it's a pleasure to be able to do it. And I'm hoping that it's not one and done. You know, we're going to give everything we have so that I can be the last old man standing, maybe.
Of the 14 starting playoff quarterbacks, 8 are at least 32 years old.
You know, it is interesting. More and more in professional athletes, there's so much more money at stake. The better you treat your body. Like, that's the thing, Joy. once you get a great quarterback, it used to be considered you were home free for a decade. It's not unrealistic to think 18 years, if you have a good offensive line, 17 years. I mean, it's amazing. We know this to be fact. Get the quarterback right, you'll always be playoff viable. I mean, if you just think about that. I mean, it used to be it gave you a decade, 8 to 10 years, you were clear. Now it's double that. If you take care of your body, I mean, Big Ben's had injuries. He's been hit a lot, and he's in year 16.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
it's not unrealistic Russell Wilson plays 20 years. It's not unrealistic Aaron Rodgers plays 20 years.
I mean, it's literally just get the one position right, and you'll be playoff viable for your fan base, for your suite holders, for two decades.
And as long as you adjust with the game and adjust with your right. aging quarterback, like, don't rely on him to be able to be mobile for his entire career as he gets into his later years. Invest in a very good running game, invest in some good slot receivers, make things adjust around your aging quarterback. You can have that, because the value of having the mental side of the game down, I mean, you've seen it with Tom. Like, he's not necessarily a mobile quarterback. He's not immobile, but we don't think of him as a running threat. Yeah. His ability to know the game, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, they just know what's happening.
And also, the NFL doesn't allow the mobility like the NBA does or baseball does.
Right.
So the reality is, if you get the quarterback right, and even if it's gone sideways for a two-year stretch, you just franchise it. So it's you get that quarterback. That's why everybody moves up for quarterback. You get it right, you should be home free for 15 years.
That's why they better have some conversations in Miami.
Yeah.
Ben's playoff record is 13-8. So Alvin Kamara's status for the Saints playoff game Sunday was in question this week. He missed the regular season finale after being placed on the COVID list. But he is eligible to come off that list before kickoff if he continues to pass league protocols. And Kamara teased his return, saying, "See y'all Sunday." He would not have been eligible if this game was on Saturday. So he's reportedly participating in live practices remotely this week. Ty Montgomery against Carolina had 18 rushes for 105 yards, so they didn't really miss a beat there. Obviously, you want to have Alvin out there. He's a bigger threat than Ty Montgomery. They also might get Latavius Murray back from the COVID list because he was a close contact to Alvin Kamara. So if they have everybody back, that's
they're going to win.
A rough day.
It's a reality of, let's say they get a big lead, and I thought about this. Let's say they get a 3-touchdown lead late third quarter. Do they put Taysom Hill in? That's why I said on Blazing 5, I'd take the Bears and the points. Some people tease it up to 12 points or whatever. The reality is the Saints will win. My question is, when you have an old quarterback and a valuable running back, would Alvin Kamara play two quarters? You lead big and just take him out. Like, I could see them going to Taysom Hill in this game very early.
I could see that. I mean, I think two things Bears have to do. One, they need to be able to not turn the ball over because the Saints are going to take advantage of turnovers in this game.
Right.
And they have to score touchdowns when they get in the red zone. If you watch the Packers game, I believe they were in the red zone 5 times. Only 1 time did they score a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it. That's not going to cut it. The Saints are putting up at least 30 points a game on average. That's you have to score points if you're going to hang with the Saints. So Alex Smith is working through a calf injury and is listed as questionable for tomorrow night's game against the Bucks. So backup Taylor Heinicke is taking most of the snaps in practice. Ron Rivera didn't seem too concerned that Smith wouldn't be able to play, but he has discussed the possibility of rotating between the two quarterbacks during the game. I love Washington's defense. I think they've had a nice season. Rivera's obviously the guy. He's done an incredible job with that franchise, which has been very unstable and had been nothing but pretty much a PR nightmare for several years now. But you don't have a quarterback.
Well, also, calf injuries are weird because they feel healed. So calf injuries are totally deceptive. You're 2 days after a calf injury, you're like, I'm fine, I can walk around. You're just a acceleration away. So that's why Washington, all those trainers know, like, just don't practice. Just, is Alex ready to take the first snap? If the answer is yes, go for it. But he could easily tweak that thing in a game.
Or just not be ready at all. Like, go full speed and practice before the game, or warm-ups before the game, and not be the case. But look, Taylor Heinicke is fine, but it's that's Tom Brady on the other side.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Deshaun wants, Watson, Houston Texans wants out. Does he have a chance for that to be realized? Playoff thoughts. Eric Mangini went through a lot of playoff games and Super Bowl wins with Tom Brady. His thoughts next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots, knows all about Tom Brady in these crucial situations. Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Mangini now joining us live. We appreciate that. All right, Coach, to me, Seattle feels like they're on upset alert. Their offense is struggling. Rams defense leads the NFL in yards per play allowed. It's going to be low scoring. Russell Wilson has been off for several weeks. Is there a team out there that would worry you a little this weekend, a favorite that would be upset?
Yeah, I think that Tampa has to be worried about being upset. And it's one of those situations where when you insert Alex Smith into the equation, He makes good decisions, typically. He can have long, sustained drives, which will keep Tom Brady off the field. They've got those 5 number one draft picks on the defensive line. And is Tampa, have they really figured it out? Or is this a function of playing against bad opponents over the last month plus? You'd like to think that offensively they have answers now, but it's a little bit like what you said with the Steelers early on. Is it a mirage? Or is this truly the Tampa Bay offense we can expect in the playoffs? And I don't think that's been answered.
You know, I want to talk about the Steelers right now. Kevin Stefanski is not there. Olivier Vernon's not there. The COVID outbreak. But let's talk Stefanski. How punitive is it that a young quarterback that's never been in the playoffs will not have his play caller? Your thoughts on Cleveland in this game?
Well, I think it's difficult really difficult, but everything about the season has been difficult. And the guy who's handled it as well as anybody is Kevin Stefanski. You talk about all the challenges he's had to overcome. So I'm sure there'll be a good plan in place. And he's got the benefit of his quarterback coach in Alex Van Pelt calling the plays. And I'd say, Colin, the one advantage that Cleveland has with a new play caller is defensively, you have no fingerprint on that guy. You don't know his tendencies. Usually when you're going and playing a team for the third time, you have a real edge because you understand not exactly what, but you've got a good idea of what that other human being who's calling the plays is going to do. You insert another play caller, and I know he's going to try to stay true to what Stefanski would want, but it's unsettling from a defensive perspective for the Steelers. So that part of it is a positive in a very negative situation.
Do you feel, is there a team that maybe, you know, look at this game. Now Pittsburgh, the sense is, well, they've got to win. They're at home. Everybody's rested. Stefanski's not there. The downside, I could argue, is it's all the heat is on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's, you talk about a team that's under pressure. The start that they've had, okay, that to go 11-0 and break a franchise record, to just be beat barely by the Browns last week when you didn't have a bunch of starters, you rested your starters, it was an away game, and now you come home and they don't have their head coach, they don't have their play caller. It's an incredible amount of pressure. Every single thing says that they should win, and they should win handily. But with what Cleveland can do in the running game and the way that they could potentially control the clock that way, it could easily go the other way.
You know, I want you were in a lot of these playoff games. Describe to the audience, you know, you think, when I watch NFL football, every play, it's like hockey. You can't take a playoff, you get hurt. But is there a sense, a palpable sense, the playoffs do feel different as a coach or a player?
Yeah, absolutely. And we would always talk about this with the young players. So when you start and you go from the preseason, when there used to be a preseason, to the regular season, things amp up there. And then when you go to the regular season to the postseason, it amps up to a whole nother level. Now, from a coaching perspective, it's an absolute pleasure to coach in the playoffs because everybody is as dialed in as they're going to get. There's no question of whether or not people will be studying. There's no question of how hard they'll work. There's no question of what their effort will be, what their intensity will be. So coaching-wise, it's how you'd want it to be every single week. But the veterans, the people who have been there before, understand that there's no guarantee that you're going to go back. And all those thousands of hours of work and monotony and sacrifice, that's what you're playing for. And guys who've been there once and then have another opportunity, they understand completely that it's fleeting and you've got this small window to maximize the chance. And it's intense.
Yeah. By the way, Colts have a running game. That's always problematic if you have a high-powered Buffalo offense. They are playing so well right now, the Bills are. I take them. All your Patriot teams, does it matter how you play in the last month, or is that all media nonsense? Because I look at Buffalo and I think, God, they're a Hail Mary away from being 10-0 down the stretch. Does how you're playing now matter?
Yes. It to me, it absolutely matters. And when we won that first Super Bowl, we were 5-5 through 10 games. And we got on a winning streak, and it carried, it fueled itself. And we went into the playoffs, even though, you know, we were on a winning streak, we also had that level of confidence knowing that we could play with anybody, that we could win in a lot of different ways. And when you lose games late and you just have a little bit of that insecurity or just some of your confidence taken away, it can affect things. Now, is it the only determining factor? No, not at all. There's been some teams that have won late and done well, but you want to go in with that momentum because it does carry you.
By the way, Deshaun Watson unhappy. Some say he would seek a trade. You know, it appears the owner said he would at least listen to him on a candidate, and he didn't, which is, you should, communication's got to be better than that for any organization. But did you ever, in New England, did they ever listen to Brady on a coach hire, a draft pick, anything?
No, not that I know of. And look, the in these situations, it comes down to ownership. And then it's the general manager, and you got to allow them to make those decisions. And as much as you respect the impact that a player can have, the player is just one component of the big picture. And you look at what happened with Aaron Rodgers. It's not like they looked to him for impact on a head coach, and that's worked out pretty well for them. So, yeah, you may listen to their concerns. But this is a much bigger picture decision and selection than having one player impact that.
Yeah. Well, they went and got another Patriot. So I think the Patriots.
More to come, Colin. More to come, I think.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels will be a leading candidate for that gig. Eric Mangini, happy birthday in about 3 or 4 days.
Nah, a little longer than that, but yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah,
happy birthday to you too, my friend.
All right, Eric Mangini. You know, it's interesting about, do you ask a player? So if you don't ask a player, even a star player, and you just do it, that if that could be ruffle feathers. But what's worse is you ask them, they give you a choice, and then you don't hire them. And that's like, oh, you asked me and now ignore it. So you really, as Joy said earlier, you've just got to communicate this. You've got to be, like in Miami, LeBron had won a couple times, so he went to Pat Riley and said, I like Shabazz Napier. And it wasn't a great draft, so it wasn't like there was a, and so you're like, okay, we got to kind of listen to, even Pat Riley's like, the minute you ask for a player's opinion, you better strongly consider their opinion. So I think if I owned a team, again, I'm very much a compartmentalizer, but that's the way my brain works. I would like GM, coach. I would never have a coach GM. I think it's stupid. And then player. I would never ask my players about draft picks. I don't think you run a business that way. You've got.
I think free agency is a different conversation.
Well, now that's interesting. If, like, for instance, I played with a guy in Miami.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, listen, you can go in and say, coach, he's undervalued. Wes Welker in Miami is undervalued.
Or you can have a player who knows how that player is in the locker room or how that player interacts with coaches. Like, that's insight I would solicit my star.
Well, that's Brady and Gronk in Tampa.
Right.
He's like, listen, this guy's good for my system. That was clearly a Brady move. Let's get Gronk in here. Yeah, to your point, in the league, play together, know his work ethic, know what he brings to the team. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades last two times longer. Get them at Walmart. Hour three next.